For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Matthew chapter 17. I want to begin reading in verse 1. The Bible says, "And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And the scripture says he was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came, amen, and touched them, and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead." Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd add your blessing to all that we've tried to accomplish here today. Lord, I pray that folks would get the right message that we're trying to deliver here, would see our heart, hear our heart. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'd make us like Jesus. And Lord, I pray that we'd all become mountain men today. In Christ's name, amen. The story of the transfiguration, in this story there was much truth involved here as we read it. There were many parallels going on in this exciting story, of course. And Peter, James, and John were making up what we call the inner three of the leadership team of the disciples of Jesus. They were a special group. They were an anointed group. They were a blessed group of men. And we see also in this story a wonderful preview of the kingdom. We'll not get into all of that, but you can do a study on that yourself. And even though it included Peter, James, and John, you and I can glean something from the story. The Bible says they went up into a high mountain apart. They were mountain men. They were mountaineers. You say, "Preacher, I don't get that out of that." It's right there in the Bible. They were mountain men. I want to bring a short message today on this subject. I want to be a mountain man. You know, when I was a kid, Brother Adam, hold those pictures. I might use them tonight. When I was a kid, I used to dream about being a mountain man. Probably a lot of boys did. I loved the outdoors, loved the creeks, and loved the lakes, and loved the rivers and all of that. Loved being outdoors. Back then, we didn't have all the things that we have today. They had to shoo us in from outdoors, not shoo us from indoors out. And when I was a kid, when the bookmobile'd come by, I'd get books from the library. I'd get books. Biographies. I love biographies of Daniel Boone, Davy Crockett, and Simon Kenton, and other mountain men and adventurous men, and I just loved all of that. And that's all well and good, and there are some great stories there. But more than that, I think God spiritually wants us to be a mountain man. I didn't realize what all that entailed when I got saved in February of 1972. You probably didn't either. And Jesus invited the three to become mountain men. It says after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John, his brother, and it says he brought them up into a high mountain apart. They became mountain men. You know, really, in the Bible, there are mountaintops, and on those mountaintops were often the location for great appearances of God, on those mountaintops. We often use the phrase a mountaintop experience. I've had many mountaintop experiences in my life, and so have you. But if it weren't for the valleys, we wouldn't have the mountaintops. We appreciate the mountaintops so much more because of the valleys that make the mountains, of course. And these three men and those with them were invited by the Savior to become mountain men. They were invited to become mountain men. What does that mean? What does it mean to be one of God's mountain men? May I say quickly this morning, first of all, mountain men, God's mountain men, go where others do not go. Everybody didn't go on this trip, but some did. They go where others do not go. Notice it says he brought them to this place. I think of that great old song, Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's tableland, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, lift me up to higher ground. That's what he was talking about. That's what I'm talking about today. Lord, lift me up to higher ground. Help me to live a higher experience, have a higher experience with the Lord. You know, often we're too grounded. We're just too grounded. Our feet are too grounded. Our hearts are too grounded. Our minds are too grounded. And you say, where is this in the Holy Land? Most likely, most scholars believe it was on Mount Tabor or Tabor. Mount Tabor lies in the lower Galilee region of Israel in the eastern edge of the Jezreel Valley. It's a beautiful place. And Jesus invited his disciples, those three and maybe a few others, to go up there. And I want you to know that when Peter got up there, he never got over that experience. In fact, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 16, he says, "For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." What was he talking about there? The transfiguration. This is what we call the transfiguration of Jesus. He was transfigured before them. Peter never got over that. In verse 17 of 2 Peter 1, it says, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased.' And this voice which came down from heaven, we heard." Where did they hear it? They heard it on the mountain. They went where others didn't go. You say, "Preacher, I'd like to go where others aren't going." You can. You can go where others are not going. You do get all of God that you're going to get as far as what you need to go to heaven when you get saved. But does God have all of you? That's the great question of the hour. And he says, "And this voice which came down from heaven, we heard when we were with him," when we were with him, when we were with him, when we were with him in the holy mount. They were mountain men. Mountain men go, by the way, mountain women too. They go where others don't go. May I invite you to go with me to the mountain? May I invite you to become one of God's mountain men? Number two, not only did they go where others did not go, but they saw what others did not see. Mountain men see things. They see things. They go where others do not go. And by the way, when you get there, you'll not be disappointed. We were elk hunting a few years ago in Colorado in the mountains, in the Rocky Mountains. Those are some real mountains there. And we had scouted an area. It was over 10,000 feet. It was a beautiful area for elk. And we'd done all the scouting. And on opening day, we got up. And for almost 2 hours in the darkness, we hiked all uphill into this beautiful mountain pass. It was a low gap in the mountains. It was a gap, a crossing. And we were gonna sit that crossing that morning. We walked for almost 2 hours in the darkness to get there. My lungs were bursting, and I could tell I live in the mountain state, and I felt like a flatlander. We got there, and as it began to break daylight, you know, we were so excited. And as it began to break daylight, I looked over in that low gap where I was expecting elk to cross, and there was a tent. There was a couple of guys camping in a tent. They'd moved in there in between the time we'd scouted it and opening day, and they were camped right where the elk were supposed to come through. I want you to know I was a bit disappointed.
What do? We were on the mountaintop, so we continued to hunt. We just didn't hunt that part of the mountaintop. I want you to know where God takes you, though, where God guides you. God is a guide that when He takes you to the mountaintop, you'll never be disappointed. There's plenty of room for all of us on the mountaintop. They go where others don't go. They see what others don't see. What did they see in verse 2? It says, they saw Him in His heavenly glory. He was transfigured before them. His face shone as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. He glistened before them. They saw Him in all of His Shekinah glory. That word transfigured is the same word, Romans 12, 2, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Jesus does that. It's the Greek word metamorphio. It means that we're changed, like metamorphosis. Like a little bug becomes a beautiful butterfly through metamorphosis, and God says He changes us from the inside out. And they saw the glory of God from the inside out shining on the Son of God. They saw His transformation. And here we see just a glimpse of glory. We see a glimpse of what heaven will be like. We see now through a glass darkly, but then face to face. But I like what the writer of Hebrews said. We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He by the grace of God should taste death for every man. We see Jesus, God's mountain men, see what others don't see. From the inside out, they saw His glory. By the way, some of His glory ought to show from the inside out. There ought to be a metamorphosis for every born-again believer. From the inside out, when we get our heart changed, it ought to show on the outside. They not only go where others don't go, they see, God's a mountain man, see what others don't see. Moses was a mountain man. He was up on Mount Sinai, and when he came off, they saw the glory of God upon his face. Caleb was a mountain man. He had great vision, Proverbs 29, 18, and he says, give me this mountain. He was a mountain man. He waited 45 years for his mountain. They saw what others don't see. They saw Jesus. They saw Moses. They saw Elijah. Moses represented the law. Elijah represented the prophets. And Jesus fulfilled both of those. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And we see there a new covenant from God for all people. God had a message there. Not only do mountain men go where others don't go, they see what others don't see, but they hear what others don't hear. By the way, look in verse 8. It says, when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. Oh, we need to see Him. We need to see Him. We need to see Him. The Bible says in verses 3 through 5, they hear what others do not hear. They heard a voice out of the cloud. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And in verse 4, then answered Peter. By the way, then answered Peter. No one had asked Peter anything. They didn't say, Peter, what do you think about all this? Peter said, well, you know, Lord, it's a wonderful thing. I think we ought to build 3 tabernacles here in memory of this wonderful event. And God sent a cloud down and spoke out of that cloud and said, Peter, we didn't ask you. You're answering where no one asked a question. It's not about you. It's not about Moses. It's not about Elijah. I'm trying to show you it's all about my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. It's about Jesus. They hear what others don't hear. When you get on the mountaintop, suddenly you realize it's about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about my feelings. It's not about my fame. It's not about my name. All of these men that we heard from today, it's not about them. It's about Jesus. They heard a voice out of the cloud, and also that voice pulled them out of the crowd. God said, this is my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. They all heard it. God said, it's about my Son. Listen to Him. Hear Him. You know what God said? I'm going to be nice. He said, Peter, be quiet. So I said, be quiet. Be quiet. Listen to my beloved Son. Hear ye Him. And mountain men hear what others don't hear. They're willing to listen to Him. They're seeking His wisdom. Peter was talking. God said, psst. Sent a cloud down, choked him up a bit. Hear my Son. May I say, he's still saying that today. If you'll get on the mountain, if I'll get on the mountain, we'll live there on the mountain. We'll hear what others don't hear. We'll see what others don't see. We'll come out of the cloud. We'll come out of the crowd. And his charge to them, we find in verse 9, they came down from the mountain and Jesus charged them saying, tell the vision of no man until the Son of Man be risen from the dead. They saw no man but Jesus only. They were scared to death. And Jesus touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. Finally, mountain men do what others don't do. They do what others don't do. You look at Peter, James, and John and all that God did with them, those fishermen, and they were rough around the edges, sons of thunder. They weren't the kind of men that maybe we would have brought on. But I want you to know God saw something in them. God saw something in them, and God did something through them. In chapter 17 and verse 20, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, the disciples came, they said, we've got this young person here, we can't cast the demon out of her. Jesus said, if you have faith, he said, you couldn't because of your unbelief. If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, in chapter 17, verse 20, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Mountain men do what others don't do. And they said, why couldn't we do it? Jesus said, you could have. Howbeit, verse 21, this kind goeth not out but by prayer and fasting. This kind. You want this kind of miracle? You want this kind of a mountaintop? You want this kind of a touch? You want this kind of anointing? It's going to take some prayer and fasting. Mountain men do what others don't do. Mountain men, true mountain man has an appearance about him. A true mountain man has an accent. You ever thought about that? We spend a lot of time on all these things, but I'm not going to today. God's mountain men have an appearance about them. They have an accent about them. It's a heavenly accent. Mountain men have an aroma about them. When I first started bow hunting, well, my first bow hunting after we were married, I had all of my stuff down in the basement, all my hunting gear and stuff. And I remember one year I had some skunk scent. I was going to use that skunk scent for a cover scent. Obviously, you don't put that on you. And I remember I took the lid off the skunk scent. And all I did is just take the lid off. And it was seconds, and my wife said, Rick, what is that smell? I said, don't worry, honey. I'm just getting ready to go hunting. You know, there was an aroma about the thing. I'd come back from hunting trips, and she'd say, I'm glad you're here. You know, just give me one of those lean in. Go get a shower. I'll hug you, you know. Mountain men have an appearance. Mountain men have an aroma. Mountain men have an accent. It's from heaven. It comes from the mountain. I think of a famous mountain man. His name was Anderson Hatfield. Anderson Hatfield, of course, was the head of the Hatfield clan in the famous Hatfield-McCoy feud down in southern West Virginia years ago. Anderson Hatfield had a friend that he fought with alongside of in the Civil War. His name was Dyke Garrett. Dyke Garrett was an old mountain preacher, and they fought together in the Confederacy, with the Confederacy as a border county with the Logan Wildcats. And Dyke Garrett had witnessed the Devil Lance for years and years. It took years. And finally, after the killing and after the sorrow and after all the pain and all that went on down in those mountains, there was a day that Devil Lance Hatfield gave his heart and life to Jesus Christ, and Dyke Garrett baptized him there in Island Creek on September 23rd, 1911. Hundreds of people came. News people came. And they said when he went under the water, you know how they embellish things to get headlines. They said, the man who baptized the devil, it says the water boiled when the devil was baptized. God changed Devalance's heart. And he lived the rest of his years for Jesus Christ. They were part of a primitive Baptist church, I think, down in that part of West Virginia. It's all because of a mountain man that did not give up on another mountain man. God did what others had not done, and God did what others could not do. Who is it that you're praying for? There's a reason he was called Devalance. Because he was living his life for not God, but the devil. Why don't you become a mountain man today? You say, preacher, you can become a mountain man. You can become a mountain woman. You can do what others don't do. You can go where others have never gone. You can see what others don't see. And you can hear what others have never heard. And the Lord invites you. It says, and John, his brother, Peter, and James, it says, Jesus took them and brought them up into a high mountain apart. You have to come apart to be a mountain man.